Today we have another surprise in store. If you're new here, you haven't been here before, we have a preaching team, we have a pastoral team, and they usually take the pulpit and minister. But about a month ago, we did something unusual. I said we were going to do it one more time. And so today is that time. When I told Kirk, who's out of town, what we're going to do, he goes, "I want to FaceTime into the service." He's never said he wanted to FaceTime into the service when I'm preaching. But anyway, we've got some young people from our young adult group just sharing this morning. We did three a month ago. We're going to do three this morning. And we really enjoyed last month, what everyone shared. And so we're going to start with Aiden. Aiden Gallo, come on up. And
thank you, Lena. I forgot my water. How's everyone doing this morning? Awesome. I just wanted to say that there's a lot of people wearing blue today. And I just want to say that's so awesome. And if you're not wearing blue, you're still awesome. So, but before I give my testimony, I just wanted to start with some scripture. And more specifically, I wanted to start with Psalms 23, where it says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." And I chose that because whenever I was first saved, this scripture revealed to me who God was, what he does for me, and how he can provide for me in every season. And it's not just a scripture that just is for the beginning. It's something that leads on forever, pretty much. And with that, I go into my testimony. So growing up, I had a lot of friends, and back in 2022 was when I got saved. But before I got saved, I had a lot of friends growing up. But for some reason, I always had like this nagging loneliness. And I don't even know why it was there. It wasn't because of people. It wasn't because of a situation. It wasn't because of the environment I was in. And when I was in high school, what I would do with that loneliness, I would join activities in school. And I would join clubs like band, baseball, bowling, but I suck at bowling, so I don't even know why I tried out for that. And then, I don't really do those things anymore, so I guess you can tell how those things turned out. And while I was in those groups, I realized I was people-pleasing. I was hopping in groups, trying to feel that loneliness that I felt, try to take down that loneliness that I felt, but it wasn't enough. And I didn't know God at the time, so I would just feed into it more and more, and that loneliness just kept going bigger and bigger. And what I would do at the time, just to numb the pain, I would take edible marijuana just so I could be with people, I can feel better, oh, I can feel so great. But no, that was temporary. And oh, how great how I felt after that high, I guess. And people could only do so much. And obviously, marijuana is material, so that's never going to work. And so after high school, when I graduated, I was alone, away from everyone, all away from my clubs, away from my drugs. And I moved in with my father and my dad. He was like, "Okay, you got three options, son. You can go to school," which I didn't even know how to drive yet. So I didn't know how I was going to do that. I didn't even save up money for that. And he was like, "You can go to the military," which I definitely couldn't do because I actually broke my spine a year before graduating, which, praise God, I'm still here and walking today. And he's just prevailed so much in my life. Or number three, you can go get a job. Well, obviously, I couldn't do the first two, so I went and got a job. And if you didn't know, my cousins are Ariana, Paul, and Alicia. So it was actually Ariana who invited me to go get a job at a place called Craven. And there, God provided for me. He fulfilled that need that I had, and like my father's needs as well, because he wanted me to go get a job. Later on after that, she also invited me to Epicenter Church. And when I first came to Epicenter, I was very weirded out. I'm being brutally honest, I was super weirded out by the dancing. Well, there's a man by the name of Kirk Chrisman. He was sitting right there. Hey, Kirk, I see you on FaceTime. I was sitting right behind him, and I was with my little sister, Sophie. And I just saw this man go, woo, Jesus, woo! And I was just like, I looked at my sister, and I was like, what is going on? And I was weirded out by the worship. I didn't understand the gifts, and I didn't understand being in his presence, speaking in tongues. And I was just like, what is going on? What do I do? But it wasn't until the third or fourth Sunday that I heard Alicia's testimony, which, if it's your first time being here at Epicenter, I recommend at least being here three or four times. I promise something is going to hit home. So by the third or fourth Sunday that I came, I heard Alicia's testimony. She spoke about a loneliness that she had also felt, and how she too would fill it up with parties, people, drugs. And at the time, I didn't realize it, that the loneliness that I had was my desire for God. We were built for a relationship, and I was like, why was this loneliness always here? We were built for a relationship and intimacy with him. But as that, she opened up my eyes, revealing that God was real, I realized that God was that loneliness I was feeling. That missing of intimacy was that loneliness I was feeling. And that so many things opened up in my eyes. Relationships. He revealed to me friendship, love, communication. And back then, whenever I would be lonely in high school, I would seclude myself away from everyone, and I would go sit on a rock in silence. And I wouldn't even do anything. I would either just cry, read a book. I would just go and bask in my loneliness, I guess. But without even realizing it, I went and sought refuge on a rock. And now, just like in Psalms 23, the Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul, and he guides me along the right paths. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil, for your rod and staff, they comfort me. And so now, I move to stand on that rock that I used to be so, I would go to whenever I was alone. But now, since I'm on this rock, I'm gonna proclaim his goodness. I'm gonna proclaim his greatness, what he's done for me and how much he's changed me. And I used to desire to be filled with people, filled with material things. But he gives me everything I need. Now I'm on the rock, not lonely anymore, but letting know how much he's changed me. And yeah, that's my testimony. Thank you.
That was awesome. That was very good. Thank you, Aiden. Lead me to the rock that's higher than I, and his name is Jesus. He's there every time. He is faithful. Remember, we baptized about eight people in Phil and Aideen's pool. Was that how many months ago was that? When was it? November? We went and baptized people in the cold of November. That sounds like us. Okay. We didn't want them to have to wait. And I remember, yes, Kirk was freezing and it was cold. And so we baptized about 8 people, newly baptized out of the young adult group. And Gabe was one of them. So Gabe Chang is going to come up and tell some things that we may not know.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning. Gosh, guys, nobody tells you how crazy it is up here, but here I am. All right, so I'm going to be telling you guys my testimony. Right here? Okay. I will be reading out of Ephesians 6. We'll be reading 2 verses, verse 14. It says, "Put on truth as a belt to strengthen you to stand in triumph. Put on holiness as the protective armor that covers your heart." Verse 17 says, "Embrace the power of salvation's full deliverance like a helmet to protect your thoughts from the lies, and take the mighty razor-sharp spirit sword of the spoken word of God." I'm going to need you guys to just keep that in the back of your head. Now I will tell my story. Growing up, my family was very religious, and we'd always go to church on Sundays, and I would dread it. I would hate having to wake up, get ready, and stand for hours to listen to some random music and people jumping up and down. But my favorite part about church growing up as a kid was the donuts at the end and the kolaches. Fast forwarding, 7th grade is when I had first moved to Houston, and I was very lonely because my parents were always working, and due to the fact that my mom had lost custody of my 2 brothers, and it just left me home alone a lot. Some nights, my aunt would have to come over and watch me to make sure I was safe because my parents were always working. I always wanted to have somebody to talk to, so I turned to video games. For me, video games were my source of outlet, and it was a way of communicating to people about things that were going on in my life. Anytime I would be struggling, I would go and play video games all day. Sometimes I'd play so much that my parents would be getting home from work, and I would have to pretend that I was asleep. And as soon as they turn around, I'd get right back on the game. As some time passed, I hung out with some of the wrong people, and I ended up getting taken advantage of, and I was abused. This pushed me deeper into loneliness and shame and guilt because I felt like I couldn't tell anybody. It felt like I had this pressure that was on me, and I couldn't explain it to anybody. This started to make my head go crazy. I started to harm myself by cutting myself. I wouldn't take care of myself. I would sit in my room all day and just play video games. Whenever I would harm myself, I would try to get attention to seek from others and in hopes that they would see me, but nobody did. When I built up the courage to tell one person about my story, my best friend actually, they couldn't handle my story and they pushed me away actually. They abandoned me. That hurt more than the razor blade that was going through my wrist. I couldn't trust anybody, it felt like. And on top of all of this, after some years, my family dog that I had ever since 2018 passed away. I blamed myself for everything that was going on in my life. I blamed myself for the abuse, for blocking myself off. I blamed myself for my dog passing away even. It eventually led me into a spiral of depression and suicidal thoughts. Every day for me was just a black hole. I wouldn't clean my room. I would leave clothes on the floor, and sometimes I wouldn't even shower. With all this happening, there is this one guy named Samuel, right there, who had knew a bit of my story, and he had invited me to this young adult's Bible study, which was held by Dan and Alicia. And knowing me at the time, I wasn't going for any of it, actually. I told him, this is a waste of my time. Why would I go to some young adult's Bible study? After some long months and some convincing, I finally went. And as soon as I got there, wow. That's all I could say is wow. I walked in, and there was a bunch of people just all so passionate to know about Jesus. And of course, Sam had to pick the worst possible seats, which was in front of everybody. And I had to have all eyes on me. It was crazy. But for some reason, I always kept going back. It was weird. It was like there was this some sort of passion that was growing inside of me. Still, with the suicidal thoughts, I was still depressed. One day, on a Thursday for Bible study, I decided I was tired of feeling everything and I didn't want to go through my life anymore. I decided that after Bible study, I was going to take my car and go as fast as I could into the nearest tree I could and take my life. Before the Bible study started, Paul had asked me how my week was going. And although I was struggling at the time, I didn't want to give him any details because I was still afraid of oversharing my story and being abandoned. But after some time and some convincing, I started to tell him what was going on in my life. I told him that I had suicidal thoughts and I was depressed. After this, Alicia had asked me if I had ever given my life to Jesus, and I said no. But that night, I decided to give my life to Jesus Christ. The feeling of all the hands laid upon me was like the wildfire that I had inside of my body. It was like the cold hands just putting all of these fires out. In that moment, in my mind, I knew that God was real. Amen. After that night, God showed me that I don't have to fight my battles solo. I can fight these battles through Jesus Christ and the armor of God. Ephesians 6:17 says, embrace the power of salvation's full deliverance like a helmet to protect your thoughts from the lies. The suicidal thoughts, the thoughts of the voices just screaming inside of your head, the armor of God can protect you from that. Amen. Because before I had nothing to fight against my thoughts, but now I have Jesus and the armor of God to fight against the negative thoughts. So if you're here struggling today with any thought of loneliness, depression, or suicidal thoughts, I am a living testimony that there is a light at the end of the tunnel.
Woo! Woo! Guys.
So yeah, that is my story.
That was wonderful. It was great. That was wonderful. Wow. God can just turn things around in an instant. And that was a very important instant that night, right? Very important time. The next person is Taylor Westmoreland.
Hello, everybody. How is everybody? Okay. Today we're going to be looking in 1 Samuel 15, starting in verse 17. But before we read it, I want to give you some context to what we are reading today. Samuel was sent to King Saul with a message from God. And God was telling Saul to completely destroy the Amalekites. I might go back from Amalekites to the Amalekites, so just ignore that. But he said, completely destroy the Amalekites, everybody and every living cattle, oxen, sheep, everything. So Saul gathers his army, they go to the Amalek, and they go to completely destroy the Amalekites. But Saul decides to save their king and all the best cattle, sheep, and oxen. So right away we see that Saul kind of took matters into his own hands. When he came back, he actually created a monument for himself in his own honor, celebrating his victory. Okay. And at the same time, God was actually speaking to Samuel, and he said, I regret making Saul king because he could not follow my instructions. That's scary. But this is actually not the first time that Saul disobeyed God. If you go back a couple of chapters, they were getting ready to attack the Philistine outpost. And before they were going to go, Samuel told Saul, wait 7 days. At the end of the seventh day, I will come to you, and we're going to make a sacrifice to the Lord together. And then we'll receive the next steps. So Saul waits the 7 days with his army, and at the same time, the Philistines are getting ready to attack the Israelites. So at the end of the seventh day, his army's standing there waiting, and it says in the scripture that they started trembling in fear. And so Samuel also has not shown up just yet. So Saul sees that, and he's like, okay, well, Samuel's not here like he said he would be. My army's getting fearful. I'm going to go make the sacrifice to the Lord myself. So he goes, makes a sacrifice to the Lord himself, comes back, and of course Samuel shows up, and he's like, what are you doing? And he ends up rebuking Saul for disobeying the Lord and tells him that his reign would not last very long because he couldn't follow the Lord's instructions. So we see in both situations, Saul was giving clear instructions from God, but then kind of added his own, what he thought was best instead. And so we're going to be picking up in verse 17 where Samuel is actually going to be addressing Saul with this. Verse 17, it says, so Samuel said, when you were little in your own eyes, were you not the head of the tribes of Israel? And did not the Lord anoint you king over Israel? Now the Lord sent you on a mission and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they are consumed. Why then did you not obey the voice of the Lord? Why did you swoop down on the spoil and do evil in the sight of the Lord? And Saul said to Samuel, but I have obeyed the voice of the Lord and gone on the mission on which the Lord sent me and brought back Agag, king of Amalek. I have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. It's almost like he's saying, like, what are you even talking about? But the people took of the plunder, sheep and oxen, and best of things, which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice to the Lord your God. It always has stood out to me that he said the Lord your God and not the Lord my God in Gilgal. So Samuel said, has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice. And to heed, which means to listen or pay attention to, than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness or arrogance is as iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has also rejected you from being king. Arrogance is defined as the quality of having an exaggerated sense of one's own importance or abilities. So we see that Saul acted out of his own arrogance. You know, God said, okay, go completely destroy the Amalekites. Okay, I'm going to go, but I'm going to save the king and the best livestock. And it actually says they were unwilling to kill the weak ones. God could not trust Saul to be king because Saul was not fully submitted to God and acted out of his arrogance, thinking he knew better than what God was telling him to do. Proverbs 3, 5 through 7. It says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways, submit to him and he will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. Okay, I have a fun short story for you. So a couple of years ago, Devin and I were given the opportunity to be youth pastors at a startup church. We were there for a couple of years, but at one point we felt like the Lord was telling us to take a step back, to withdraw. And I would like to tell you that we obeyed when the Lord told us to do this, but we didn't, okay? So The reason why we didn't is because I actually did not want to accept the fact that the Lord was going to change everything. And we just continued to move forward in what we were doing. So at the time, we lived about an hour away from the church. We ended up moving 5 minutes down the road. Obeying the Lord. We did not do that. So after moving, though, we actually felt like the grace for us to be at this church was lifted. And I want to clarify, when I say that the grace for us to be at this place was lifted, I don't mean the grace of God over your life or our lives was lifted. I mean, to be at this specific place, everything just became very hard. Devin lost his job. I became very burnt out and just starting to flow and act from an empty cup, meaning I'm giving more than I had. Our marriage was not doing good. Our relationships were painful and hard. And I truly believe it was because the Lord was telling us to step away the first time, and we didn't. So as this is all going on, we felt like the Lord said, it's time to step away again. And I would like to tell you we obeyed the second time, and we didn't. The reason for this one was because I was consumed with what people would think of me, the fear of man. I would think, are they going to judge me? Are they going to criticize us for leaving? Are they going to think that we're not hearing from the Lord when actually we were hearing from the Lord and still disobeying his voice? So I ended up thinking that in the midst of this, that my sacrifice that I was bringing to God was my empty cup. That he wanted me to live a life where I was just pouring out and pouring out and pouring out, and all of these things would have a struggle and all these things. But he was actually saying, no, I want you to take a step back. And honestly, in hindsight, I believe he was telling us to step back to protect us from all of those things. And it wasn't the Lord who caused those things. It was our disobedience. I could have chosen to obey him. We could have chosen to obey him. But instead, we chose to obey the voices that were going on in our heads. So this morning, God may be revealing something to you as we're speaking. He might be trying to tell you to do something, but maybe you don't fully understand why or how, and maybe you don't even agree with him. Like the first time he told us to leave the ministry or to leave this church, not the ministry, but you know what I mean. I didn't agree with him, so I chose disobedience rather than obeying him. Maybe you're in the same position. Maybe he's revealing something in your heart where he might be telling you to spend more time with him in the mornings. He might be telling you to forgive this person. He might be telling you to move to another city. Whatever it is, I would encourage you to obey the Lord. I believe that we need to fully trust God and have a heart that says, Lord, even though I may not understand why, I may not even agree with you, but I'm going to do it because I love you and I trust that your plans for me are good and they're plans to prosper me and not to harm me. And I think it's important to remind ourselves that when God tells us to do something, he's not going to tell us to do it for no reason. He has a plan for us and he knows us better than we know ourselves. So I want to encourage you this morning. Submit yourself fully to God, because full obedience requires full surrender. And we have to surrender our ego and our pride and what we think is right in order to fully submit to God and fully please him. We can't live a life fully submitted to him while also trying to live for ourselves and to live from a place of ego and pride and doing what we think is best. Partial obedience is still disobedience. Saul partially obeyed and was still in disobedience. Delayed obedience is also disobedience. If God gives you a time frame, do it then. If he tells you now, go now. Don't hesitate. Just do it. Trust him because he's going to take care of you. So I actually want to pray for us this morning. If everybody would stand, please. One thing I want to say before we pray together is, just because God calls you to something or tells you to do something does not mean it's always going to be easy. It can be hard, but I promise you, in the midst of that hardness or struggle, do what God tells you to do and don't do what you think is best. Don't try to leave it too early. Wait on him and let him be Lord. And so we're just going to pray. Father, I thank you for this morning and I thank you for your word this morning. Father, I pray for every person in this room, God, under the sound of my voice, and I pray that anything that you're calling us to do, whatever you're calling us to obey in, whatever we're not submitted, would you reveal that to us? Would you reveal it to our hearts this morning? I pray in the name of Jesus, Lord, that there would be no hesitation, no fear of man, no fear of the future, but just trust that you're more pleased with us obeying you than trying to bring a sacrifice of an empty cup, Lord. And I pray, Father, that we would just heed your voice, that we would pay attention to your voice, that we would listen for you and not ourselves. In Jesus' name, amen.